This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm going to take it nice and slow, Jared, because I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed today.
Much like a president walking down a red carpet in Israel, it's best to just take it slow and stiff.
I need some help. I need some people to lead me in the right direction. That's why I'm relying on the callers today to kind of push us in the direction you want to go, because we could go in so many different ones. It truly is wild how every time I think this has got to be the worst day of Joe Biden's presidency, he says, hold my beer. Well, he doesn't. Hold my pudding. Hold my tapioca pudding. I'm going to prove you wrong. If you want to call in to talk about any of this in the first hour, the number is 844-500-4242. But I think what we should start with, as much as I'm tempted to start with all of the weirdo things he's been saying when allowed out in public, and I particularly like when a reporter will throw something at him and it gets under his skin and he runs towards the camera. He runs mouth agape towards the camera. It's not a good look. You know, what is Howie always say? TV is a cool medium. Radio is a hot medium. So I can be as wild as I want to be.
Radio is hotter than expected.
Radio is hotter than expected. It's unexpectedly hot. But TV, you got to calm it down. And he goes after these cameras like he's going to eat them. And he stumbles towards him and his eyes are popping out. He looks like that. He looks like the Berkeley professor with the big eyes. And he's so angry. But before we get to any of that, we should start with the headline of the day, which Jared kind of just teased a little bit. Jared's back at the board. Inflation. It's another historic day in the Biden presidency. Inflation has hit 9.1%. That is a 40-plus year high. He's changing lives. He is fundamentally transforming this country. And last month, it was 8.6%. And I bet a lot of you were thinking, we're probably hitting the peak. No such thing. How high can we go? It's, you know,
Two to three out of five.
When I think of Joe Biden's approval rating, I think of the song, How Low Can You Go? The Limbo song. But when I think of inflation, I think of the song in Greece. Higher! Higher! It just keeps getting higher and higher. They have no plan. I mean, I know they got Brian Deese, the Belmont boy, out there talking about these great things they're going to do. They got Kamala out there, Jill comparing people to tacos. But there doesn't seem to be any real plan. And I was promised, not just plans, but I was promised 6, 7, 8 pronged plans. Have we hit even one prong? Where are the prongs?
We are prongless.
We're prongless. Currently. We're prongless, and no one seems to have any idea what to do about it. I will say there is a huge shift happening as far as Joe Biden goes. The New York Times, again, has hit pieces out against him. The Washington Post has a negative piece on him today. And so a lot of people do seem to be acknowledging the fact that he is not in his right mind. He's cognitively not there, and he has no plan. And what I love about this, let's play just a couple of reactions here to the 9.1. Here's how I found out about the number. I had said yesterday on Howie's show that the report was coming out today. I think it dropped to 8:30 And I was in the office this morning having my breakfast, and all of a sudden Howie starts screaming, 9.1! 9.1! And I'm thinking, what's 9.1? He can't be talking about inflation because that's insane. No, it's not insane. Anything is possible in Joe Biden's America. And as much as we make fun of that word unexpected, they still keep using it in one way or another. They're still trying to convince us that no one saw this coming. So I think first, Jared, I would like to take Fox Business Cut 18.
One really interesting thing is if you look at the core CPI, year over year, or month over month, it was expected to rise 0.6% for the third straight month. It came in hotter than that. So if you look at the monthly trajectory, core prices are getting hotter, not cooler.
It came in hot, like Joe Biden going towards that reporter. He came in hot, too.
Hot! Too hot!
Too hot. Too hot. And did you see Biden's response to the CPI? you have to, here's what I will say. You have to laugh or else you will cry. When you watch what's happening, when you see this man, I'm being deadly earnest. This is not a joke. I'm being serious. Come on, man. You got to giggle a little bit. Because it's beyond parody. He comes out with a statement in which he tells us that the numbers are out of date because they don't account for the recent drop in gas prices. So while today's headline inflation reading is unacceptably high, it is also out of date. Remember those words. Those are three new words for you. Out of date. Forget hotter than expected. That's gone. That's so yesterday. The new term is out of date. Energy alone comprised nearly half of the monthly increase in inflation. Today's data, 9.1, everyone, 9.1. Today's data does not reflect the full impact of nearly 30 days of decreases in gas prices that have reduced the price at the pump by about 40 cents since mid-June.
Come on, Burgundy. You know those ratings don't account for sets that have two households or more.
This isn't Jared. So he goes from Putin's price hike, oil oligarchs, the big four, the unvaccinated, Republicans, Ron DeSantis. I know I'm forgetting like 15 other things he's blamed in the past 2 weeks. And now it's out of date numbers.
B-roll. Numerical B-roll.
He's bragging, and Greg Price put it well. He said he's bragging about a 40 cent decline in gas prices
exponentially
that still leave the national average a full $2.50 higher than when he took office.
America is back.
I'm going to tell you right now what Joe Biden's problem is. He has no shame. And it runs in the family because neither does Hunter, neither does Jill. These people are shameless. They have no self-awareness. And so now he's telling us that the numbers are out of date. 844-500-4242. Beyond that, I thought that was going to be really the opening here is just inflation. But the day this report drops, the day we get this unexpectedly hot like a potato, this unexpectedly hot number, Joe Biden lands in Tel Aviv. And so, you know, naturally he's booked and busy. He's not going to have a lot of time to comment on this. He might try to blame Ron DeSantis or someone because he does love to bash Republicans when he's abroad. So, you know, maybe he'll bring up the Supreme Court and stuff, but he's not going to address this in any sort of fashion. He did, however, have some remarks on the Holocaust that caught a lot of people's attention. This is, and I should say, if you're listening to this, you should really watch the videos because the content of what he's saying, as bizarre as it might be, pales in comparison to the visual of the way he's walking, the way he's shuffling. On the plus side, in Tel Aviv, on the tarmac, there didn't appear to be any wires. So I'm sure that his staffers took a nice deep breath when they knew he wasn't hopefully going to trip on anything. The red carpet seemed to be pretty smooth. But listen to what he had to say about the Holocaust. This is Cut 9.
Later today, I will once more return to the hollow ground of Yad Vashem to honor 6 million Jewish lives were stolen in the genocide, and continue, which we must do every day, continue to bear witness. To keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, horror of the Holocaust.
You know, and then I see this speech from Kamala Harris, and just bear with me for a second here. I see this speech from Kamala Harris, and she says, let's play Cut 23. She's talking about transportation. This is all.
We are expanding access to transportation. Seems like maybe it's a small issue. It's a big issue. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home. So we have expanded access to transportation. Do gotta go.
The Easter Bunny is writing these speeches, and he is sabotaging the whole lot of them. By the way, when I see Jill Biden, when I see Joe Biden, when I see Kamala Harris, and I want to insult their speeches, I want to insult who's ever writing these, I want to insult the fact that they clearly don't read them before they say them, because otherwise those people would be fired before the speech even went to print. But I have to tell you this. Jill Biden did her husband a great service yesterday because she set the bar real low now for speeches. Here's where the bar is set.
Si se puede!
Whether Biden is talking about the Holocaust or Kamala is talking about going where you need to go because you need to get where you gotta go.
Do gotta go.
The new bar is, did you compare an entire group of people to food? Did you compare an entire group of people to breakfast tacos? If the answer is no, and we're grading on that new curve, guess what? You're probably getting an A. This is like being in a math class when everyone fails. I remember being in a math class once, and we were all so terrible. And it was great, because as bad as I am at math, I was looking around and I was going, he's going to have to grade this on a curve. You know, he can't keep all of us back. And they would help me out. That is what Jill Biden did. She came out there, she compared Hispanics to breakfast tacos, and just like that, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they're winning now. A plus, you've passed. 844-500-4242. He was also told about those polls that say no one wants him to run, the ones that Jake Tapper was laughing about with his panel. That got him really ticked off. And we're going to talk about this as well. The fact that all you have to do to get him to respond is hit at his ego. His ego is more fragile than ever. You know, he's not lucid anymore in the slightest. Not that I have to tell you guys that. But one part of him where he really snaps back into it is if you come after his pride, because he's such an egomaniac. And the reporters who are just kind of peppering him with, what do you say to people who think you suck? What do you say to people who think you shouldn't run? Boom. He's coming right at you. You're getting like the best coverage of your life. He's literally inches away from the camera. And one other thing, Jared, I know you're going to kill me here. Speaking of being inches away, there's a new sniffing video as well. He was sniffing a young girl.
I saw that, yeah.
This is, when I look at this list here in front of me, Taco Gate, sniffing, COVID, stroking cheek of someone at the picnic, calling a reporter Jack, the Holocaust comment, inflation 9.1%. Hail to the chief. It's too much. It's too much. That's my one complaint with Joe. You're giving me too much material. 844-500-42.
You got good blood, kid.
42. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley.
And it is out.
Headline CPI much hotter than expected, up 1.3%, up 1.3%. In order to find a higher month-over-month level, we're going back to the same year as the up 1.2 in March was the previous high of this move, and that's 2005. If you strip out the all-important food and energy, and the Fed's much more reluctant to do that these days, it's also hotter, up 0.7%. The high watermark there was all the way back in April of last year when it was up 0.9, and that was 1981 level.
That was from CNBC, and I all I can think about when I see these numbers, you know, 9.1% inflation, and of course that doesn't account for the 40-cent decrease in gas, which Joe Biden was quick to tell us about this morning in his statement. But all I can really think about is what a shame it is. You know, we had such an opportunity. We had such an opportunity to avoid this if we had only passed Build Back Better. I know you were probably thinking if I was going to say if we only voted for Donald Trump. No. If we only spent billions of more dollars, you know, and pumped that.
Build Back Better.
Just pump that into the economy. We could have avoided inflation, because the best way to fight inflation is more inflation. It's like cowbell. You need more cowbell.
Got to spend money to make money.
You do. Peggy, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
And hi, Grace. Great show. And the funny thing is, they had anticipated 8.8, which was bad enough. Now they have 9.1. And it seems to me that every single person that's giving him advice on this has no experience. They have no experience. If you go back to the last administration, Donald Trump's administration, they all were businessmen. They all ran businesses, cut payrolls, you know, factored in, you know, this, that, and the other thing. These people have no clue what they're doing. And they just come out with these stupid statements. And, you know, people that have studied economics, that are working in the stock market, that own businesses, they're scratching their heads and saying, who is believing this? It's just incredible. I really think this today, this 9.1 increase in CPI is going to be the death knell for this administration, because people have just had it.
Peggy, I am thrilled that you brought up this point, because I had this same exact conversation with a man who has a lot of experience cutting payroll. That would be Howard Lawrence Carr, signs my checks. And I have to tell you, he said the same thing about this administration, specifically a column he had about Brian Deese, and how Brian Deese and all of these people have no experience running any sort of business. Let's play cut 28. This is Brian Deese on CNBC.
And I just want to underscore, if there's one thing to take away from this report, it's that there is more urgency now than ever in Congress moving to pass a bill to try to build more domestic semiconductors, to try to bring down the price of those goods. You see across this report things like used cars and new vehicles.
Hold on. Do I have this straight? Deese, Belmont boy, is telling us that if we learn anything from 9.1% inflation, it's that we need to spend more money. We need to pass bills that are going to spend more money. Got it. And another thing Peggy just pointed out is that she said, you know, it was anticipated to be 8.8%. You have to imagine that it's almost like when they say a movie didn't reach box office expectations, you know that the expectations were already lowered so that they could say it passed expectations. That's how they set it up. You know, they kind of set themselves up for success. So you say, oh, we thought Buzz Lightyear was going to make $30 million, and it actually made 40. It was $10 million more than we expected. So you have to imagine that they were already kind of lowballing it and hoping that 8.8 was going to be way higher than it was, so they could say, you know, oh, unexpectedly decreased. What a win. And instead, it's 9.1. That is kind of a telltale sign. And I agree that this has got to be the end of this administration. But hey, don't get too confident, Jack, because Biden doesn't think so. We'll be right back with more. I want more calls. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
When we look at, guys, where we're seeing the largest increases, it's broad-based. Gasoline, shelter, food being the largest contributors. Certainly a confirmation of what a lot of us consumers know is that inflation is rampant. It is pretty much everywhere these days, and this report suggesting that.
That was from CNN. I noticed they didn't bring up the 40-cent decrease. So Biden had to brag about it himself. That's the issue, is that no one in the media is doing a good enough job celebrating Biden's accomplishments. And so he is forced.
That's the truth.
To just go out there and be his own best salesman.
That alt-right network CNN once again befuddling our president.
Yeah, he looked befuddled today. He looked exceptionally weak today when he arrived in Tel Aviv. And I noticed two things. One is that right when this report comes out, suddenly Joe Biden is, you know, he's traveling. Sorry. Out of, out of office. You got to check in with me later. I got to make some real profound remarks in Tel Aviv, which we'll get more into that in a little bit. But also I noticed that today I started seeing a lot more updates from a group that had gone a bit quiet recently. The COVID follow the science czars were all over my feed today. In the words of a song from one of my favorite movies, Country Strong, timing is everything. And that is especially true with this administration. You can always tell what they're up to by what they want to talk about. And it's never the issues that matter the most to the American people. I mean, David Marcus had a great point today. He said, when people go to the grocery store and they see bacon for $12, you know what they're not thinking in their heads? They're not thinking, I really hope they all get to the bottom of January 6th. And I would add on, they're also not thinking, man, Josh Hawley got so owned by that Berkeley professor who called him a transphobe for not believing that men can get pregnant. I don't think that's going through anybody's head at the gas pump. But maybe I just don't understand people as much as Joe. You know, Joe understands people's hearts. Just like all of these people in the media understand what Biden is trying to say, and, you know, what he means and all this great stuff. Before we get to the calls, though, really quickly here. The last caller had just brought up how no one in this administration has any business experience, how, you know, when Trump brought in people, it was all people who had great resumes when it comes to running businesses, meeting deadlines, delegating, all that kind of stuff. And the person who first came to mind because of Howie's column was Brian Deese, he's one of Biden's economic advisors, and he was on TV today explaining how if this report is telling us anything, it's that we need to spend more money. And there's a really good piece in the Wall Street Journal. It's titled "No Business Experience Needed." A troubling trend in the Democratic Party in recent years is increasing detachment from the private economy. The one reason may be the few of its officials have experience in private business. Average business experience of Biden appointees is only 2.4 years, the author found. Any fresh-faced 25-year-old on Wall Street has clocked more private business hours than most of Washington's top officials. 62% have virtually no business experience. By contrast, the average Donald Trump cabinet official had 13 years of experience in the private economy. Oh, hiss, boo, who cares?
I mean, I was a businessman doing business.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, you're trying to tell me that things were working out better under Trump? I don't think so. We're breaking history here. We're making history every day. It goes on to say, it's fair to wonder if the Biden policies and their results reflect a lack of even a basic understanding of how business works. Supply and demand, you know, all that stuff. I don't know. I trust the experts. These are the best and brightest. And what I go back to a lot when I think about this is during the supply chain crisis, which I love how I say during as if it ended, you know, as if there was a resolution, as if Pete came back from paternity leave and figured it all out. But when we were discussing it and Biden was telling us, oh, the people in the booths at the restaurants, they can't understand this stuff. It's too complicated. You know, they don't have this high IQ as Joe Biden or Hunter. They're just the regular three squares staring at the ceiling fan kind of people. It's hard for them to understand all of this. We had a guy call up. He was a truck driver, and he explained it in about 15 seconds. And it was a succinct, clear explanation, better than anything I'd heard or read about in the newspaper, heard from Biden officials. And I thought I would much rather have that guy in charge than any of these people, these eggheads, because they have no idea what they're doing.
If he does not find airports romantic and underpasses racist, I don't want to hear from him.
And
that's the analysis I'm looking for.
I think that this administration, Jared, is not just a bad reflection on Democrats, but it's a terrible reflection on higher education.
The scourge of academia is destroying this country. I don't mean smart people. I mean academia.
Yeah. Like right now, yes. If you told me someone's an Ivy Leaguer, I immediately am skeptical of them. Like, do they have any common sense whatsoever? All these people are the best and the brightest. And this is where it's getting us. Adam, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Kate, sorry. Grace, I just love what you're talking about now, because they're really, I left school when I was 15, and I have more common sense than these guys put together. They're just really dumb. And I think there's a lot of Americans right now thinking that the insurrection, January 6th insurrection, they wish it had happened. We wouldn't be going through this crap right now with high inflation, no respect around the world anywhere. That's gone. And I think that we have to see that Biden's, either the Democrats wake up and say, look, this guy's killing the party. Let's somehow get him out, and then even change Kamala, because she's another nutcase, and try to save the Democratic Party. And I'm not a Democrat by a long shot, but the Democratic Party is killing itself. That's how dumb they are. And I think that I think even the media now, let's say the left-wing media, is beginning to get so embarrassed they cannot ignore this anymore. And I think that's the big takeaway. And anyway, Grace, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great, and I really appreciate listening to you.
Thank you so much, Adam. And you just gave me a great segue into really what we're going to be talking about in the 1 o'clock hour, because there is a shift happening. And I don't know if it's because they're embarrassed. I think it's because they're desperate now and they know that Biden is a losing candidate. He's not going to be able to win in 2024 if he's even able to walk up to the podium at that point. And so there is a shift happening. But I don't think they clued Biden in. You know, I don't think he's part of the transition. I don't think this is going to be a peaceful transition to a new Democrat. I saw Bill Kristol, one of those principled conservatives, on Twitter, and he was saying how Democrats need to find like a moderate young candidate. I really was thinking to myself, who? Connor Lamb? He couldn't even win. He couldn't even win in a primary, and they want to find a young, moderate Democrat. And they want to find someone to replace Joe Biden. But what happens if the person you're trying to replace doesn't want to go anywhere? And we see that when Joe is asked by a reporter about his poll numbers. Because this is a whole conversation now that's happening on the mainstream media. It's happening in the New York Times. New York Times, it was like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It reminds me of the line from The Godfather. A Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But every single morning, they got a new hit piece out on Joe Biden. And that's not by accident. You know, that's not because they all suddenly had this epiphany. Eureka! He's kind of old! No. No. This is coordinated. And unfortunately for them, Joe Biden, he's a fighter. You know, you don't need to hear it from Corn Pop to know that this dude...
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
This dude does not take kindly to doubters.
Dude gotta go.
In a weird way, he's a lot like Trump in that sense. Because remember when Obama was making fun of Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? And a lot of people said that was what motivated Trump to run for president. See, if you ask Joe Biden, if you look back at Joe Biden's montages, he has said everything, every issue over the past 130 years, which is about half his age at this point, had motivated him to run for office. Oh, racial issues. That's what motivated me to run. Kitchen table issues. That's what motivated me to run. That motivated me. That's why I ran. Right there. That's why I ran. But the funny thing about Trump is that most people say, no, it was because Obama made fun of him during a roast. And he was like, I'm going to run. This is, you're saying I can't do it. So now I need to prove you wrong. In a weird way, I think Biden's like that too. There's a little bit of a craziness to, if you are trying to kick me out, you can't fire me, I quit. But in this case, it's, you can't fire me, I'm not leaving. It's like the scene in Dreamgirls. I'm telling you, I'm not going. And when a reporter asked him about these polls that Jake Tapper and other people are citing, take a listen to Joe Biden. He gets a little hot, a little hotter than expected under the collar. This is cut one.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who don't want you to run again?
They want me to run.
Two-thirds city.
Read the polls. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024.
92% said if I did, they'd vote for me.
They don't want me to run, but if I did... He's essentially saying, like, gun to their heads, they would vote for me. They would hold their noses really, really tight, and they would vote for me.
Check this out, Jack.
All right, thank you, Jerry, because that I want to get this in here. I saw Miranda Devine tweeting about why Joe Biden calls people Jack, and there was all these different theories. People said, you know, it originated, hit the road, Jack. And it's just kind of like a common thing. If, you know, you're referring to a guy you don't like, you know, oh, Jack over there. But all I could think about,
Jack!
All I could think about was John Lovitz in Seinfeld during the Wigmaster episode, because we have certain lines from Seinfeld we say in my house all the time. When I was growing up, my mom used to always say, "Good for you, Jack," and that was from Seinfeld. Now Biden, I think that's his friendlier way of, you know, saying, "Listen up, fat." One horse pony soldier. He says Jack when he's mad. And I should, this kind of brings us to the poll question.
Good for you, Jack.
All I can think about when he says that. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning, especially right now, is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which old-timey phrase do you most want Biden to use? Jack, sport, bow, or Palooka?
I'm a big fan of Jack.
Jack polling at 21%. Palooka in the lead at 36%. 30% for Bal and 13% for Sport. And actually Matt, who helps us out with editing and running the board sometimes and answering the phones, came up with this. He said, Joe Biden basically is like reading a Bazooka Joe comic strip.
Yeah.
Off the bubble gum. Like, that's how he talks.
No, he is. He is. And when I think I've heard all his lines, he comes out with a new one. Dan, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
I don't know whether to cry or just have a breakdown. President Flatline isn't even running the country, and they're making a mockery out of everything because he's not running it. They got people behind the scenes running the country, and everything they do is for a quick destruction and destruction of our country. And I don't think we have 2 years to wait with everything that they're doing.
But Dan, furthermore, he's not only not running the country, but he's like openly admitting it. It's in plain sight. He's making his own jokes, and I'm using air quotes because I don't think it's a joke. Listen to what he said about when he hears hail to the chief. This is not the first time he's made this joke. This is cut three.
You know, you don't have to stand every time I hear hail to the chief wonder where the hell is he. Took me a long while. You think I'm joking? I'm not. Turn around and where's the president?
In a blue streak now, Jack.
A lot of people, you know, it's hard to criticize all of the aspects of these clips when you see them because there's so many things you want to criticize. But one person did comment on the fact that when he was at this picnic, the White House picnic or whatever it is, the staffers picnic, I don't know, he was dressed like a Saturday Night Fever episode. I mean, he had the blue pants, the tight blue pants, the button-down white collared shirt, the aviators, the hair slicked back. It's bleak. It's bleak. And he says, I don't know who they're calling when they play Hail to the Chief. I think, where is he? And then people laugh because you assume, okay, he's trying to be funny and maybe be self-deprecating. And then people laugh, which doesn't happen a lot for him. And instead, he says, you think I'm kidding. It's like, well, we don't think you're kidding. We really hope you're kidding. We really hope you're kidding. I really hope that when you hear that, you don't say, where is the president? That's kind of what everyone's worried about right now, Joe or Jack. Jack and Jill, man, they are just wreaking havoc. That was going to be my other poll question. Who's having a worse week, Jill or Joe? Although I will say I was proven wrong on one point, Jared. I thought that he was going to lose the I'm Jill's husband this week because of her whole comparing Hispanics to tacos thing. I was wrong. Cut two.
Folks, look, you know, I'm Jill Biden's husband, and proud of it.
Proud of it, even though they told me not to mention it because she just compared Hispanics to a food group and we're losing Hispanics. We're hemorrhaging voters.
En español, por favor.
I'm Nana's husband. 844-500-4242. We'll continue to take your calls. I know people just want to vent today. I understand. That's basically what I've been doing for the last hour. So feel free to call in. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Just look at that chart. I mean, you can just see it going up and up and up. And Rahel, I just think we need to make one thing clear. This was a bigger jump than Wall Street was expecting.
You don't say, Johnny boy. You don't say, Jack. That was John Berman.
Good for you, Jack.
And today in the Washington Post, there's a piece, Biden's trip to Saudi Arabia erodes our moral authority. These are just small, tiny little breadcrumbs leading us to the conclusion that Joe's time as president is winding down.
What's that all about?
I don't think anyone is very happy about the way this is going. But one of my callers, Adam, and he's a good caller. He calls in a lot. He brought up January 6th. There's actually a few updates there. I saw this report that Cassidy Hutchinson was reaching out to the Trump people looking for help as far as, you know, she was going broke trying to figure out a way to defend herself against this J6 thing. And even Jack Posobiec said, you know, this doesn't look good for Trump and his people, because if you expect loyalty from someone, these Democrat committees, the blue ribbon commissions, they ruin people. We've seen it so many times. We've seen what happens with Michael Flynn. And in this report here, it says, this is from Hutchinson. I was subpoenaed by the 1-6 committee on November 9, 2020, but was not formally served until Wednesday, January 26, 2021. Now, I think that's got to be a typo, right? Because that doesn't make any sense. But she says her aunt and uncle applied to refinance their house to loosen up some money since I don't have much immediate family, but they weren't approved. She's basically begging for some help here. This doesn't look good. And we also have an update from John Bolton saying the quiet part out loud. We'll get to that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. A lot more to get to. Grace Curley Show.